For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Under the Helmet.
You do your thing, all right? Don't be nervous, okay?
The show that looks at long-term player value in fantasy football.
It's the moment right here. We're going to have to decide what type of team we want to be.
Building dynasties each and every week.
I don't even know your name. What's your name?
Chad Parsons.
I'm telling you, man, you're leading the league in hydration.
I got a dynasty team reaping rewards for the next decade.
Find written and premium audio content at uthdynasty.com.
Playing it safe in Dynasty means you're going to lose.
Stop talking about it, man. Let's get this going right now.
Welcome to Under the Helmet. I am Chad Parsons. I have a special project I'm going to share here on the weekly show. This is something that did it four times during NFL draft season last year in 2023. And only going to have a couple different iterations. I've been doing an NFL mock draft Monday, going over ideally two, three, four rounds of an NFL mock out there in the space and looking at it from the fantasy perspective, the Dynasty Big Board perspective, and the rookie draft decision making matrix perspective. So you can find those shows, already up to seven of them in the queue. But this one is a project, like I said, I did it four times last year, probably can only do it a couple times. And we're at this intermediate period that is going to be before NFL free agency. The next 48, 72 hours are going to be big. So I wanted to get this out since I already prepped it, and some interesting things to chew on here from the fantasy perspective. And what it is, I call it the rookie fit, and basically putting puzzle pieces together where every team in the first three rounds gets a skill position player. So it could be anything. What's the best fit in terms of what picks they have, what's left on the board for them at that point, as well as, again, everybody addressing that situation. I got seven or eight of them right in terms of last year, the final iteration there, and looking at the best fits here. So let's get started. We're going to go by team and through generally just the NFL draft order here for where they sit in the first round, but very instructive just to go through the exercise of where might be some of the best fits positionally, team need-wise. And of course, things are going to change as we go through the next week or two with NFL free agency. But let's get started. Chicago Bears up at the top, and Caleb Williams being drafted at number one. Heck, they might go skill position again at number nine. I do think, though, that we're trending towards the three big wide receivers in Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Romo Odunze likely off the board in the top eight. So they will not be looking at wide receiver three at number nine. Maybe they end up trading up a little bit, but Caleb Williams at one going there for the Bears. I don't think it's a big need, and I've said before, I'll say it till I'm blue in the face, and I'll say it till he's not on the team, which is I think the Bears, especially now with the fading price point, should keep Justin Fields. And hey, you can figure out 6 months from now, 12 months from now, a fifth year option, a future contract, all that stuff can come out in the wash. But again, you need a good backup. Even if your plan is Caleb Williams is going to start for us week one, what if he doesn't? What if he gets injured? What if he's not ready? What if you want to go with Justin Fields, who is inspired and motivated during these summer months of being disrespected, and you know, the fact that he's still there and he's not happy and all this, and they drafted a quarterback at one. Maybe Fields comes out and plays his best ball. Who knows? So I'd rather have two options, two poker chips to play as opposed to one if I were the Bears, especially if you're looking at a day three pick or two in return for Justin Fields at this point. Washington up next. Best fit for me is Drake May. I've been a big fan and supporter of Drake May over Jaden Daniels. I do think that I have these three quarterbacks a lot closer than most people, where they tier him and all that stuff. I think Drake May is the best quarterback in this class when you look at translating to the NFL, when you look at all the tools he provides. He's an underrated runner as well. Not that any of the three can't run for 500 plus yards in a season in the NFL. Absolutely possible. And with Jaden Daniels, I think the frame is a little bit concerning. He offers the most rushing upside, but also his pressure to sack rate is a little on the higher side. Some of those intermediate throws are more of a question mark with Jaden Daniels. So I think Washington, and honestly, Washington versus New England, I think Washington's a better fit with what they're building there with the skill position talent, as well as them having five picks in the top 100 this year. So they get Drake May, their new signal caller, at 2. Patriots, they take Jaden Daniels at 3. So this could be a trade down spot. I do think if they pass on quarterback within those top 3 and they're staying there, it would be a relative mistake. You gotta take your swing. You gotta shoot your shot. And I think all 3 in a typical draft are worthy of being 101 picks. And yet Patriots would be able to get one here, one of the 3 at 103. Cardinals at 4, Marvin Harrison Jr. They have 6 picks, the most picks of anybody in the top 100, and actually all 6 of their picks are in the top 90. They have that bonus late first round pick. They have an early second round pick. So they can really control this board with a trade up, maybe a trade down. They have even more picks in the top 100, but Marvin Harrison Jr. is really the best fit here. They're going to build around Kyler Murray. And the fact that they don't really have much, they've spent capital on Michael Wilson. We'll see what happens with him. Rondell Moore, they've had trouble fitting that puzzle piece together in this team. But I think it's Marvin Harrison Jr. gives him a legitimate chance. It would boost Kyler Murray in Dynasty for sure, give him outs to be a top 5 or 6 fantasy option this year if Marvin Harrison Jr. comes out of the gate and is a strong feature option for them. And again, I mean, they had so many picks here, but Marvin Harrison Jr. at 4 is more likely than any singular player or position, I think. But I wouldn't be surprised at the other spots, and I wouldn't be surprised if they double down. And with all those picks, maybe we see another pass catcher there, or maybe even a backup running back in the third round, and we could see a transition in 2025 to another running back that's not James Conner. Next, we have the Chargers at 5. I end up going to, with Ladd McConkey for them. So they're going to go probably offensive line 1, offensive tackle. Hopefully it's Joe Alt there at number 5, but 37, Ladd McConkey. We've got 3, 4, 5 wide receivers here, late first round, early second round, and we end up having Ladd McConkey as one of them. We're bound to get 2 or 3 that slip to the early second round. They're probably going to go in the top 10 picks or so of the second round, and if you don't get your guy here in the first round, or choose to go a different direction, there will still be viable options there. And I think Ladd McConkey, you know, his best case would be, hey, in the next year or two, we're transitioning from Keenan Allen. They're probably transitioning from Mike Williams this year. We'll see with that huge salary. Quentin Johnson, you don't know what they're going to get. But I think, you know, spending the number 5 pick on someone like Malik Nabers, I would love it. But I just think offensive line, the DNA, the Harbaugh fingerprint there is going to be a little too much to go for a pass catcher there at number 5. But I still think at 37 and even at 69, they're going to have their cracks to go wide receiver, maybe even and tight end there to backfill and just help Justin Herbert out with what was a very up and down pass catching core the last year. Giants, they're lucky at 6. They get to go Malik Nabers. So he would be one that you would project a high workload, just like Marvin Harrison Jr. in Arizona. The Giants at quarterback, TBD there. You know, obviously the fact that in this iteration, they'd be passing on JJ McCarthy or whoever they would want or have there in fancy at QB4. Another option for the Giants would be, and something I said was, would be, what if Michael Penix, you know, they're in the second round. So that was another thing I was chewing on. I ended up having Penix go somewhere else, but Malik Nabers there, he can really dominate, become the alpha of a wide receiver core. And it's pretty wide open there for the Giants for him to see 100 plus, 120 plus targets potentially in year 1. Tennessee Titans, they clean up the loose ends here. Romo Dunze, they have needs all over. I have them at moderate or higher needs at every single skill position for the Tennessee Titans, but they're going to go with Romo Dunze, best player on the board here at 7. Otherwise, I think it might be offensive line. And they only have 2 picks in the top 100, so they were pretty limited in terms of 7 or 38 overall for this exercise. I think for Odunze, not a great landing spot. You got DeAndre Hopkins there for now. He's probably going to supersede Treylon Burks relatively easily. But you say not very high-level quarterback play expected. So Romo Odunze might be a year or two buy. You know, when you get partway through the season here, certainly I would think he would go later than Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison. And frankly, he might be available at 107, 108 in a rookie draft, and it would just be buying the pedigree there where he goes top 8. And yet the situation, pops him down just a little bit in that draft order. Next, we got the Falcons, and eight, it's going to be a talking point. If Kirk Cousins goes there, you know, and you have to kind of make some free agent assumptions here, but, you know, they're not probably looking at quarterback. And I thought a good fit for them would be Michael Penix at 43. So let's assume they do something. If it's Kirk Cousins, if it's another one of these veterans, but getting Michael Penix here in the second round. And one thing that I've said with Penix is even if he drops to the second round, I think in superflex drafts, as long as his situation is one of early opportunity, he's not going to fall far. Just like Will Levis, he fell last year in the draft and yet didn't really fall far in rookie drafts just because of that early opportunity possibility, which he ultimately had. Jets, only a couple picks for them, 10 and 72. I ended up giving them Ricky Pearsall at 72. So passing at 10, you know, I think they're going to go offensive line, clean up the loose ends there. Ricky Pearsall feels like a Jet. I just don't think the Jets are going to make a great choice on day two. I think they're going to go with one of the more boom-bust options. That's probably not going to please Aaron Rodgers, who doesn't like rookies. He'd rather have 47-year-old Mercedes Lewis. And Alan Lazard, and, you know, just insert a guy I have a history with here, regardless if they run a 4.8 40 or not. And so Pearsall ran well. I'm sure he's going to get some juice to, he's going to be the wide receiver too there. Ultimately, fantasy wise, I don't think for Pearsall it's going to matter all that much. Next, we get the Vikings. They end up going with QB4 here in round one. They only have a couple picks in the top 100 as well. Vikings at 11 go with J.J. McCarthy. So this could be, again, for a start now. Even if they bring back Kirk Cousins, you know, I think they would be well served to start a transition plan in some capacity. So they need quarterbacks. They've tried out a lot of different options over the last 12 months, and McCarthy would offer them a nice runway here. McCarthy would get a bump just because of those strong weapons to build around with Justin Jefferson. You got Jordan Addison on a rookie contract. TJ Hawkinson should be back by midseason. So McCarthy there at 11 to the Vikings. Next up, we got the Broncos. Number 12, they're going to take best player available, where if they just shed Jerry Jeudy, Marvin Mims, stock up, record a show for 10 to 12 minutes on Jerry Jeudy and some of the moving pieces there for Denver, as well as for Cleveland in that move. You can find that on the UTH premium side. But Brock Bowers here at 12 goes off the board. They could use a lot of different things. The fact that, you know, they don't get McCarthy in this iteration, he goes ahead of them. And so Denver probably going to go veteran quarterback in some capacity, adding to Jared Stidham. Brock Bowers here, playmaker, could be basically a wide receiver, tight end, you know, anything and everything. And potentially a guy that, you know, we really haven't seen with Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy. We haven't seen an alpha guy in this offense, really. Brock Bowers actually could be that relatively soon out of the gate. Raiders at 13. And they have their stock three picks. I ended up with Blake Corum at 77 for them in round three. And I could see for the Raiders, again, they like Zamir White, but I think something in round three, round four, create some competition there. I don't think they're going to be big on the let's sign, you know, Derrick Henry or sign, you know, a guy for $6-8 million off the free agent pile. And so Amir Abdullah is back. I think Blake Corum kind of blends the line of a guy that can do everything, can be the primary backup, even if Zamir White wins the job, but Corum would be the starter over the next year or two as well, you know, for upside there. So I think Blake Corum fits really well. And I think that would be good value if he slips just a little bit into the third round like this. Saints are next up. They only have a couple picks, so I didn't have many options here. And, you know, again, they could be looking developmental quarterback in round one, but they got squeezed out in this iteration. I ended up going Jatavion Sanders at 45. And I think with Juwan Johnson, he's been a nice story. He's just clearly not going to get all the way home and be Darren Waller or be a Jimmy Graham or be a guy that basically, you know, we're not expecting him to be a stud tight end per se, or, you know, someone that needs some developmental time. Well, he's had plenty of time. He's had a good run. I just think they're going to get someone in the building this offseason, whether it's a free agent or maybe, again, like I said, at 45, a little bit early for Jatavion Sanders compared to expected draft position, but somewhere in the mid to later second round, I think Sanders is going to go. And he's really the only other option there. And I think for the Saints, it's their biggest need, not wide receiver. I think it is tight end. You've got Rashid Shaheed coming back. You've got Chris Olave. A.T. Perry saw a couple flashes. So again, I think Jatavion Sanders is the best fit here. Colts at 15. They go with Brian Thomas. in the first round here. So he provides a huge speed element. I think he provides more separation and huge splash plays where they really didn't get that from Alec Pierce. Alec Pierce is more of a contested guy, too much of one, in my opinion. He hasn't really worked out from that second round pedigree spot. But they bring back Michael Pittman. They've got a drove of tight ends, maybe not one particular go-to guy. Hopefully they get Jelani Woods back this year. But Brian Thomas, I think, in the mid-first round, best case might be a Brock Bowers type, but creating some big play opportunities for Anthony Richardson. And I think with Pittman underneath, Brian Thomas over the top, a little more, a higher A dot from Brian Thomas, this would give Brian Thomas a really good chance to succeed, as well as the entire offense here. So they go wide receiver, and they kind of get ahead of the game. We saw three early wide receivers, Bowers off the board. And so somewhere in the teens, I think we're going to see another wide receiver or two. Seattle Seahawks, they don't have many needs other than tight end. You could maybe look at quarterback developmental. But that would be something in round three, as they have 16, 78, and 81 in terms of overall picks. I ended up going Cade Stover at tight end. Seattle was a little bit of a tougher fit for me. But again, one of those round three tight ends, there's two or three of them I think could go. Cade Stover, positional convert, Ohio State, and I think right here in the third round, it's going to be a good fit. With them bringing back Tyler Lockett now, they have three strong wide receivers, zero need there. I don't think they have any need at running back. So it really came down to developmental or backup quarterback, or we see a tight end. I think tight end makes the most sense here with Noah Fant, Kobe Parkinson, both free agents. They ended up cutting Will Disley. So it's probably going to be a veteran plus a draft pick, if I were to guess here, for Seattle at tight end. Jacksonville Jaguars at 17. This is the one of the big splashes here. I think Xavier Worthy. I think he's going to rise. This, you know, when you see mocks at Xavier Worthy 32 to Kansas City, I don't think he's making it there. I really don't. And so I was looking for a team where you can say, hey, they've got a little bit of a need. No Calvin Ridley. You know, he's probably going to go somewhere else here in free agency. So that's a huge hole. And you say, what fits with this team? And I think someone that lifts the lid, where you see a bold throwing. Again, one of the lines I remember from shows this year, you know, breaking down the NFL, was that Trevor Lawrence has all the hard throws. Like he enjoys the hard throws. He makes the hard throws, and he needs some more easy throws. Well, Xavier Worthy is going to create easy throws for Christian Kirk underneath, Evan Ingram underneath, and Xavier Worthy is one that's going to pop off for some big plays, create some easier yards for, you know, on deep overs, go routes, and again, after the catch opportunities. So Xavier Worthy here to 17. Again, the riser keeps rising. You know, the guy that we know, you run super fast and you don't have a massive flaw in terms of production in your profile, you're going to go high. And so Xavier Worthy gets the Will Fuller type treatment of just going higher than a lot of people thought in February, ending up in late April. Bengals, they have their three traditional picks. I went with Xavier Leggett. It could be tight end, but again, you have a situation here where Brock Bowers in round one is gone, and then you have Jatavion Sanders gone in round two. So they really did not get a good draw. At 49 overall, they get Xavier Leggett. Leggett is another one that maybe he goes late first, but I end up thinking he's going to go somewhere in the mid second. And, you know, it's a developmental spot with T. Higgins back. We'll see if T. Higgins is ultimately traded or something like that, but no pressure on Leggett out of the gate. And I think he provides them an upside option, maybe for 25 plus, that if T. Higgins is no longer on that team. And there's not a lot of pressure with Jamar Chase there anyway. So you're going to get some after the catch opportunities, maybe some easy throw opportunities. So Leggett there in round two for the Bengals. The Rams. And this is another one where I just see this guy rising. And I would, you know, I previously said, I recorded a premium show with a friend of mine, Keith, all about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we were talking about, you know, round three, but more around like round four wide receivers that I like in the draft. And I ended up going with Javon Baker here for the Rams at 83 overall. And I think Javon Baker, again, really strong profile, a quote unquote sleeper, if you will, someone that I could definitely see by round four, round five, he's going to be gone. Now, he may be gone round three. And Javon Baker also has the same sort of, you know, he may not be the best tester, but you look at some of the GPS tracking, some of the max speed stuff, and Javon Baker checks those boxes. Really strong prospect in that regard when you combine it with some of the production elements. And then again, you throw it onto a team here where you have Puka Nacua, you have Cooper Kupp, and if there's any erosion in Cooper Kupp or that continues from last year, Javon Baker has the upside to step up into that scenario. But as it stands, they got DeMarcus Robinson, so he can start out with wide receiver 4, wide receiver 5, and just work his way up. And Javon Baker, again, I just didn't see a good fit here for the Rams in round 1, round 2. For the skill positions, they're a good spot for developmental quarterback, in my opinion. But round 3, Javon Baker here, which I think is a sneaky developmental spot behind those strong wide receivers they currently have. Steelers are next up. I think this is another spot for potential quarterback. So whether Russell Wilson goes here, but I ended up picking Spencer Rattler at 51 overall. They have their 3 regular picks in the first 3 rounds. And the Steelers here, their biggest need, and most glaringly so, I mean, I could argue they don't have almost any need at running back, wide receiver, tight end. Going with the quarterback spot, Rattler, some developmental upside here. He could, quote unquote, compete with Kenny Pickett. Let's see who wins that job, even if it's Pickett to start the year, or Mason Rudolph, if they bring him back. Or again, lots of twists and turns here, but Spencer Rattler, not imminent pressure to start right away, but absolutely the upside to do so. Dolphins, they like speed. They were a tough fit just where they are, 21 and 55 overall, no third round pick. And so I was trying to think, you know, they don't really have an overt need spot. You could say tight end, but they don't really use tight end. They brought in Jonnu Smith. So I feel like, you know, wide receiver 3 is a spot, a little troublesome spot for them, especially if they have, you know, we've seen time with Tyreek Hill limited or out. You've seen time with Jalen Waddle injured or limited. And so I think they need a better wide receiver 3. No offense to Cedric Wilson, who's a free agent. They tried out Chase Claypool. I picked Roman Wilson at 55. You know, I think late second, early third for that range for Roman Wilson. He's fast enough, dynamic enough, can get open. They're obviously going to look at that, build a track team, and Roman Wilson is a good fit considering the options available in that later second round range. Eagles. I think they're going to fill the running back position with some sort of free agent. You know, they've brought in Rashad Penny previously, DeAndre Swift. But I think, you know, just playmaker, is it wide receiver 3? Is it tight end? I could see an argument for either spot here. And frankly, hey, maybe it's backup quarterback. So they have 4 picks. They have an extra pick in the second round. I picked 97 overall, Theo Johnson. So again, a rangy tight end, tested really well. They that secondary tight end spot, they've taken a lot of chances behind Dallas Goedert, and Goddard's missed a little bit of time. So I just think this is a good developmental spot to say, hey, what if in a year or two, Dallas Goedert's not on that team? And we've seen them run 2 tight end sets before. They had Zach Ertz. They really enjoyed doing that with Dallas Goedert when he was developing. So I think Theo Johnson gives them some matchup possibilities to run 2 tight end sets, a rangy guy, a red zone option. So I just think Theo Johnson fits well when you say, you know, I think they're probably going to go some sort of lineman in round 1 and in round 2. Are they going to like the wide receiver options? TBD on that. But I do think tight end is a legitimate matchup consideration for them. Texans, thought about running back. I think they're going to address it in a decent to major way in free agency. So I said, wide receiver 3. You know, we've seen some projections that they might do that in round 1. Well, a lot of the guys in round 1 are already gone. I think we're up to 5. By 23, we're up to 5 wide receivers already off the board. I go with Malachi Corley in round 3, 86 overall. Corley, again, sort of in the mold of a really physical player, maybe could be their Robert Woods, or what they envisioned Robert Woods and his absolute peak powers could be for this offense last year, which he was not. I just think Malachi Corley is different than Nico Collins. He's different than Tank Dell. He's big, supersized. He's like a running back out there. After the catch possibilities, I just imagine him running crossers where you see Tank Dell breaking guys off on intermediate routes, deep in cuts from Nico Collins. And then Corley can just provide something, you know, create that basketball team for those 3 wide receivers, all providing something a little different. Cowboys, you know, running back is the big need here. Maybe it's, you know, is Michael Gallup going to be on that team? It sounds like he might be released seeking a trade, quote unquote. But they have the 3 regular picks. And even if they bring someone in a free agency, I think running back is going to be something they look at. 56 overall, 87 overall, 87 overall, excuse me. I picked Braylon Allen. I think he's going to be a you know, that bruiser type. I think he's going to be someone that is going to be available in round three. Maybe he slips to round four, depending on how he tests with his pro day. But if it's something in the four fives, I think it'll keep him there in round three. So Braylon Allen, and again, they're going to have a veteran. It's not going to be Braylon Allen week one starter for 15 plus touches. I think it's going to be a veteran, and there's going to be some sort of bridge there. Allen, an intriguing running back too, to start his career. Packers, they have five picks in the top 91, and they end up splashing the pot. I think this is a perfect spot for running back to go relatively high. They have a bonus second round pick. They have a bonus third round pick. I picked Jonathan Brooks at 58. I think he has some Aaron Jones to him. He's not going to test during the process, but a dynamic athlete. They shed AJ Dillon. Aaron Jones, almost 30 years old, and just losing a little bit of that luster, and they're resetting the clock to Jonathan Brooks, 21 years old. They're going to get Aaron Jones, ring that bar towel out here in 2024. And Jonathan Brooks, lead back week one, 2025, an injury away guy this year. They're going to add maybe a low level veteran. So it'll be Brooks, Aaron Jones, and it'll be that veteran here as the three headed depth chart in 2024. Buccaneers. Talked about it on that bonus show with Keith, all about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think if Penix or Bo Nix are there, one of them probably will be, if not both. At 26, I think they need to go that way. I understand they need edge. I understand the interior offensive linemen. I get all that. But Bo Nix is good enough to draft in the late first. I have him going here. They're going to probably re-sign Baker Mayfield to a contract Keith isn't going to like on a per year basis and multiple year so. But get a developmental guy that could be your cheap option. Get the fifth year option. And hopefully, if it's a 2-year deal with Baker Mayfield, you have outs to where you can move on after this year. But Bo Nix, I think, is going to be a good fit there, where he's going to be in an ecosystem of a competitive team this year. He can learn behind Baker Mayfield a little bit. No pressure to start this year, pretty much at all. That's a good spot for Bo Nix in terms of weapons and outlook to start soon, but not too soon. Buffalo Bills, A.D. Mitchell. They end up going in the first round. They only had a first and second rounder. They end up going with A.D. Mitchell in the first round. Can he provide more pop or maybe more consistent pop than Gabriel Davis? I think that would be what you'd be shooting for. Khalil Shakir, I like him as a sleeper. You got Stephon Diggs. Hopefully, fingers crossed, the erosion we saw, the downturn in play last year, doesn't end up being something super consistent. But again, Bills, pass catcher, definitely in the crosshairs there for their first and or second round pick. Lions, only a few teams left here, and the Lions, again, I just think they're going to, you know, they have four picks in the top 95, and they're going to splash, certainly not splash running back. They spent a lot in free agency with David Montgomery and a top pick in Jahmyr Gibbs. So I really think it's going to be a pass catcher in some regard, probably a wide receiver. I picked Devontae Walker at 61. I think that's on the higher end of where he goes. He could be a third round pick, but here in the late second, a good test for Devontae Walker, caught the ball better at the combine. And again, Jameson Williams, Devontae Walker, all this is ancillary stuff to Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam Laporta. Like, no pressure on these guys to be, at least as of now, more than role players, which would be good news for Jameson Williams. Actually, bad news for him dynasty stock-wise, but good news for Devontae Walker to just get his feet wet and not have a lot of pressure early on. Ravens, they have their regular three picks, and I think running back is going to be in the crosshairs for them. I went with Trey Benson at 62. He's a physical runner, late second round. That would be pretty much right on his expected draft position. Somewhere in the 50s, 60s, 70s, I think, is where Trey Benson will go. You've got J.K. Dobbins, free agent, Gus Edwards, free agent. Keaton Mitchell's going to be coming back from a serious injury. So they need someone that can carry the rock and right away to a decent sample size. Expect him to bring in a veteran plus draft Trey Benson, and maybe, heck, as we're used to seeing, some form of committee. I don't know if there's going to be a massive ceiling. And guess what? I think it's a good fit because Trey Benson, my biggest question is his receiving score. It's the lowest of these notable high projected to go in the first, you know, 2-3 round running backs this year. And so guess what you don't need in Baltimore? A huge receiving profile. We've seen plenty of guys like Gus Edwards thrive without having a huge receiving role. 49ers. I think wide receiver is going to be the spot in the first three rounds if they go skill position. He'll be backup quarterback, but again, I think they'll find value. They found value with Sam Darnold coming in there. I think they're going to go Brendan Rice, someone that's physical, a prototypically sized guy, someone that can maybe upgrade Juwan Jennings there by the end of the year. And we don't know about Deebo Samuel, you know, missing time. You also have Brandon Ayuk. What's his contract situation going to be like? It's hard for me to think the 49ers let him get out of there, you know, or end up trading him for a future first, you know, like the Titans did with A.J. Brown or something. So, but I do think this is backfilling and being proactive, because you can get thin before you actually are thin, and then it becomes a trouble spot. And I think the 49ers are pretty thin at wide receiver. And this, you know, with a round three pick here in Brendan Rice, it would give them a backstop, someone developmentally in that pipeline. Chiefs. Number 32 overall, I went with Keon Coleman. So this would really singe the short hairs of a lot of people that are like, oh my God, you can't draft a 4-6 guy. But he's going to get one of the glorious landing spots here. You're talking about a guy with good GPS tracking. He's a good athlete, a former basketball player, rangy, can make a lot of plays. And so this is going to pair really well. And I mean, again, I just think back to Sky Moore and how he has not worked out much at all. Rashee Rice, good thing he did in year one. So Keon Coleman, late first round, when you consider, hey, A.D. Mitchell is gone. You have Xavier Worthy went earlier than expected. And it's going to be someone like Troy Franklin, Keon Coleman, you know, Xavier Leggett would be on the board in this iteration. Ladd McConkey, those types of names left for the Chiefs. And they would go with Keon Coleman. And again, creating a basketball team, literally, with Keon Coleman having the hoop chops. Panthers, they don't have a first-round pick, but 33 overall, first pick on Friday night, they go with Troy Franklin. So this is a good landing spot in terms of early opportunities. Jonathan Mingo, we really didn't see much that we liked out of him in year one. But Troy Franklin here, they only have two picks, 33 and 65. And so Troy Franklin is one that it's going to get an early opportunity to be a wide receiver one, wide receiver two on this offense. Highly productive player. Didn't run quite as fast as we wanted, considering his very thin frame, but he was very productive at Oregon. Browns, last team up here. They only have a second and a third round pick. No real team needs, but I ended up going with a tight end. They love having multiple tight end sets. Harrison Bryant, a free agent. And yeah, this could be maybe a backup quarterback. But again, I don't think it's going to be a running back. Definitely don't think with their acquisition of Jerry Jeudy that it's going to be a wide receiver. So I think tight end is the play here. I picked Ben Sinnott. They're really well-rounded, tested super well at the combine, especially compared to expectations. I thought he was going to be closer to just a guy. So dual threat guy, can block. And so I think Ben Sinnott here at 85 overall is going to be a really good fit for the Browns. So that's the post-combine iteration here. Thanks so much for listening. And again, you're going to get one coming out post post-free agency. That'll be on the premium side of this exercise. And I also mentioned taking from the community, finding notable mock drafts and going through the iteration of what will this do to the UTH big board? What will it do to the decision-making matrix? Already have about seven of those out in the queue, doing it mock draft Monday. Skipping this week because we have free agency right around the corner, but we'll pick it up again next week. Also wanted to mention some of the bonus content and some of the additional premium content available here in the UTH population. I did a 15-minute show on some of the early free agent news, the Jerry Jeudy trade to Cleveland over the weekend, over an hour with my friend Keith, talking about NFL team building, fixing quarterback, the NFL draft, and more. Mock Draft 7.0, I mentioned, came out last week. The big board had the huge adjustment NFL, post-NFL combine, so that had a bunch of shows over the last 7 to 10 days you can check out on the UTH premium side by becoming a General Manager Plus subscriber. Also on Patreon, if you know, Tim Torch mixes in on this show about every 3-4 episodes, not this week, but he's going to be on the premium side. Got a fun game, NFL-centric game that I'm going to play with Tim this week. In addition to talking, of course, some NFL free agency news and how we're going to digest that on the Dynasty front. But on the premium side of patreon.com/UTH, if you want to check that out, I do a lot of things like maybe once a week or so, talk about the Dynasty trading aspects of going through the Dynasty trade market, interesting deals. Sometimes I choose specific things like, hey, here are some deals that I think are instructive for acquiring a stud quarterback. Here's how you trade running back for wide receiver. You know, here's how you trade the 101 pick, or here's how you move up in the rookie draft, some ideas to look for there. And had some premium shows last week talking about rising and falling running backs in this year's class with Tim Torch. So all those types of things are available at patreon.com/UTH. Thanks so much for listening this week, And again, enjoy NFL free agency. There's going to be a drove of timely content, as well as UTH ranking updates, UTH trade calculator value updates, all of that, because making moves, moving and shaking this week is going to be key with the navigating that landscape of ever-changing dynasty player value. I'm Chad Parsons. Until next time, never settle, refuse to be average, and keep building those dynasties.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.